Kings and Priests.
And our lesson begins really from the first chapter of Revelation, the first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. A wonderful revelation which God gave to our Lord, risen Lord, to give to us. Those who have come into this covenant relationship with him as sons of God, servants, those who desire to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. But it is a wonderful revelation. This revelation of Jesus Christ is really the whole book of the central theme is about our Lord, but it points to the events that move toward the consummation of this activity in the establishment of the kingdom for which we have long prayed. And we believe that perhaps the great declaration were the voices, the great voices in heaven, as we read in the 11th chapter and the 15th verse, when he says, when the seventh angel sounds, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. This is really the crux of the whole book. Our Lord, his sacrifice, and all the events that have transpired from the present for the past centuries are as a result of the activities that are mentioned for us in this book of Revelation. And so we read in this first chapter that these words are also in the beginning, the fifth verse, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of earth, unto him that loved us and has freed us. Diglot tells us he's freed us from our sins by his own blood, and hath made us to be kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. A wonderful promise. These words have been given to us through the risen Lord, that we are to be called kings and priests unto God. And these kings and priests have a great honor. We like to read in Proverbs, the 25th chapter, in the second verse, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. And isn't that what we endeavor to do as we study the Word of Truth, to search out a matter? What is the Word of Truth? And we realize that our Lord told us in John 17, thy word is truth. And as we search the Word, we find out that these things that have been revealed are revealed only to those who have been called. Remember what the Lord said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. For many good and righteous men have desired to see the things that you see, but they have not heard them. And what a wonderful thing it is that you have had your eyes and your ears open to see this revelation of God. These mysteries, the sacred secrets that are given only to the initiated, those who have come into this covenant relationship with the Heavenly Father. Remember, he says that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. They only belong to us. Those who are in this close relationship, they don't belong to the world of mankind. It's for those who have been called according to his purpose. And that purpose, of course, is to live and reign with him 1,000 years in the kingdom. And what a wonderful time that will be. Mankind in general have not known these secrets. It's only those who have had their eyes open. Remember, to Daniel, he says, "Oh Lord, how long? How long?" He didn't know. He was only waiting for that time. And then, remember also to Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, "How long will it be for wars to cease?" Yes? How long? David said, "How long will the wicked triumph?" They all realized that there was a need for the kingdom. They need for something better. And the world knows that same need. How long, O Lord? And sometimes we even ask ourselves the same question. How long, O Lord? We all need the kingdom. We need the kingdom as much as the world of mankind. Might be some here today that won't be here next General Convention. They will have gone to the reward. But how long will it be before we do? Yes, these things are given to us because our eyes have been opened to see these wonderful things. In 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and the 7th verse, we read, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us." And how? It was by his Holy Spirit. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Yes, these things are deep. They're deep, but yet, for those who have had their eyes opened, they're simple truths, aren't they? We all know about restitution. We all know about these various phases of the doctrines. But those who are without don't know. But again, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. And these things come to us because, as the Apostle Paul tells us in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, "He that cometh to God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Diligently. That word diligent, you look in the strong, and it means to search out, to investigate. Yes? He is a rewarder of those that diligently desire to know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so it is important for us to have a "thus saith the Lord" for the things that we believe. Not just something that I think, you think, I suppose, we all suppose. What does the Lord say? Yes, we must diligently investigate, search out, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And these words, of course, are spoken to those whom the Heavenly Father has called to be sons, whether Jew or Gentile. We've heard a lesson during the convention where it isn't only the Jew that's been called, but they were cut off from favor so that you and I, as Gentiles, could come in. And so it is, he says, my son, give me thine heart, whether we be Jew or Gentile. Yes, all are called according to his purpose if they diligently desire to know him. And observing God's ways, these are, in the sight of God, prospective kings and priests unto God. It's their honor to search out and to know what his will is for us and what his plan is for us. Yes, search these things out. Remember the points that were made for the children of Israel as priests and under priests. They were to offer sacrifices. That was their will, God's will for them. Back in the days when they were in the wilderness, a tabernacle arrangement had been set up. These priests were to accept and to offer sacrifices. As Brother Ray brought out to us just before, these sacrifices were typical of the sacrifices that you and I are to offer. Regarding the children of Israel, their sacrifices that they offered constituted them the worshiping people of God. Others of the nations round about, the Philistines and all the rest of them, did not worship the true and the living God. But we have taken Israel's place when we consider the priesthood and their sacrifices and their worship as the antitypical priests of God. So far as Israel was concerned, their sacrifices never reached their conscience. Remember, Paul says they were only rituals that had been imposed upon them. And as Paul tells us in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and the 8th through the 10th verses, these stood only in meats and drinks, divers washings, and carnal ordinances. It was imposed upon them until the time of Reformation. And I like Goodspeed's translation on that. Until the time of the New Order. Until the time when Israel had been cast off from favor. Remember, and then the Gentiles were grafted in. But Christ, being an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of the old tabernacle building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in, once into the holy place, having obtained eternal deliverance for us. We're here to talk about deliverance. We have been delivered from the bondage of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, we have been delivered through His own blood. But this blood did more than just deliver us from the bondage of sin. It gave us justification, didn't it? Remember when that blood of the bullock was taken in and sprinkled on the mercy seat? Who was it for? For you and for me. And for every member of those who would be of the body of Christ. He appeared in the presence of God for us. Some will think that that picture of the bullock pictured our Lord as the ransom. But was it the ransom? Here is a mystery too. If it was the ransom, why wasn't it offered for the world of mankind, for the people? It was offered for us. And being offered for us, it gives us justification. It makes us right in the sight of God. Without being made right in the sight of God, we would have nothing to offer. And that's why the apostle tells us in Romans the 12th chapter, yield your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto Him. Why? It's your reasonable service. Because He has appeared in the presence of God for you, for us. Yes, and as He has appeared for us, we have something to offer. We have a sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God. And as Brother Ray brought out to us in the previous discourse, this whole picture of the tabernacle had nothing really to do with the ransom, except that that's the basis of the whole thing. It was a sin offering picture. The bullock was offered for sin, for you and me, for His people, for the underpriests. Who is the goat offered for? It was offered for the sins of the people. A sin offering picture. And thus, we share in this sin offering. And I like Brother Ray's lesson on that. We have to share in the sin offering, else what are we doing? Are we sacrificing? If we don't share in that, you're not sacrificing. And so it is, our Lord, as our priest, as our high priest, remember, Paul says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. When did he offer his bullock? He offered it for 3.5 years, did he not? When he laid down his life as a corresponding price for Father Adam, he was there, says he was buried by baptism into death. There, God considered him the corresponding price. A perfect man for a perfect man. He was raised to walk in newness of life. And for 3.5 years, he carried his cross. Remember what He asked you, me, to do? If any man be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For your whole Christian consecrated life. And as we lay down our lives daily, it's an offering that is acceptable to the Heavenly Father. Yes. And being acceptable, when all the sacrifices are completed, what happens? The high priest will take in the blood of the goat, you and I, and all those who have gone on before, take it in and sprinkle it on the mercy seat on behalf of the people. The atonement work. this whole gospel age is the Day of Atonement, when offerings are being made for sin. And as such, we do share with him in that wonderful sin offering. By contrast, consider the sacrifice of our Lord. When he says that he had appeared in the presence of God for us, and then it says in the 25th verse, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the age, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And what was this judgment? It was the judgment of the world, our judgment. But he said, so Christ once offered himself to bear the sin of many, and unto them that looked for him shall he appear the second time without a sin offering unto salvation. And when, having done this, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. It's interesting that he had nothing more to do regarding our justification once he appeared for us, except as we approach the Heavenly Father through him as our High Priest and as our Advocate. In the 10th chapter, he says in the 14th verse of Hebrews, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. We are sanctified. We all know that the word sanctification means to be set apart, but set apart for a holy purpose. And that holy purpose is one of sacrifice on behalf of the people as members of this Lord's goat. And in this 14th verse, I like the thought, for henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected for them forever, them that are sanctified. He perfected forever. I like the Thayer on that. He says, he is qualified forever. Are you and I qualified? How have we been qualified? By coming into this relationship as sons of God, of laying down our lives in consecration, of being buried with him by baptism into death, so that we also may be raised to walk in newness of life. Newness of life as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And then in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 5th verse, wherefore he cometh into the world, saying, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will. We often say that that only refers to our Lord when he came to the John the Baptist there at Jordan. He said that also. He came to do the Father's will, to lay his life down as a corresponding price. But in this context, he's saying, what is that? to do thy will. Above, when he said sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings that was have no pleasure, which are offered according to the law, then he says, lo, I come to do thy will, by the which will we are sanctified. We are set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for each one of us. Yes, and as he has offered himself, we also are to offer ourselves in sacrifice. In this 10th chapter and the 2nd verse, for he says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. Yes, our sins have been purged. We are not to have a conscience of sin. Although, remember what the Apostle Paul says, he realized that he had not yet reached that perfection that he desired to have. Because remember, in the 7th chapter of Romans, he tells us about how he wishes that he could be more Christ-like, more God-like. But he says, the commandment which I ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy and just, the commandment holy and good, was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, but that what I would, that I do not. That what I hate, that I do. So often, I think of the Apostle Paul. I'm glad he said that, because I so often say that to myself. The things that I would not do, those things I do. I don't know how many of you ever say the same thing. But we're all in the flesh. And that's what Paul says. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. But I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And isn't that our experience? We delight to the law of God after the inward man. We're all here because of that very reason, because we delight to be here with those who are still and are walking in this same narrow way, delighting after the law of God, not after the flesh, but after the inward man, as new creatures in Christ Jesus. Yes, as new creatures in Christ Jesus, this sense of guilt is taken away or purged, as Paul tells us. This doesn't mean that we have no conscience of sin, because we do. It simply means that by this one perfect sacrifice, he has forever put away our sins of the past Yes, they are sins of the past, not sins of the future. Remember what Paul tells us in Romans, the 3rd chapter, and the 25th verse. I thought it was 325. When you look in Acts, you don't find anything that you want when it's in Romans. No wonder you couldn't find it. Whom God has set forth, well, go back. But now the law of righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, the justification of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by grace through the deliverance that is in Christ Jesus. And what a wonderful grace that is. What is grace? It's God's unmerited favor. Something we don't really deserve, but we've been given it because of the Heavenly Father. And it's through the deliverance that we've received that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a mercy seat, to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Yes, our past sins have been put away. And we have been able to, through consecration, come into this covenant relationship with God. Gather my saints together unto me, all those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. That's the sin offering text. Yes? Gather my saints together unto me. And here we have been gathered for the last several days. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to talk to those who are running for this prize of the high calling, to be saints of God, kings and priests. Yes, and as kings and priests, that's a wonderful truth. For how can we stand in God's presence where all is perfection if we are not as clean as He would have us to be? Thank God we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And when our Lord's work of sacrifice was completed, remember what He did? He sat down. While He was serving, He was standing up. It was an action, wasn't it? But when He was completed, He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what has He invited you and I to do? When you have been found faithful, when I have been found faithful, even unto death, sit with me on my throne, even as I have overcome and have sat down with my Father on His throne. Yes, and as sacrificing priests, we become kings. And kings to live and reign with Him 1,000 years. I like to read also the words of the apostle in Colossians. You've had that several times. Wonderful text of scripture. 11 through 13. Colossians 1, 11 through 13. So that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the exact knowledge of God. Yes, there's a little word there that's missing in the King James. But it's the exact knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or made us qualified, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What a glorious hope. And may we all be found faithful in carrying out our covenant of sacrifice so that we will be able to see him face to face. Lord, that is blessing.